And then his father, a few years later, sick with fever and dysentery. Paul visited him and prayed and put his hands on and healed him. When this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly. And when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. I'm sure that in that time period, that's a good observation, Connor. I think in that time period, I'm sure Paul not only was healing, but was also teaching, right? And probably corrected them in their assertion that he was God, and make sure that they knew I'm just a man, and I work for God.
On this trip alone, the chief official of Malta, and there were so many people that were affected by that it's no wonder the gospel spread.
So they were in Malta about 3 months. We find that in verse 11. After 3 months, he set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship to Alexandria, with the twin gods as spearheads. Putting into Syracuse, he stayed there for 3 days. And from there, we made a circuit and arrived at the Aegean. And after one day, a south wind sprang up. And on the second day, we came totally. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so Rome. And their brothers, and brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God for their courage. And when we came to Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldiers who guarded him. So Paul arrived in Rome here in the middle of chapter 28. Luke does, I think, a really good job of including details in writing. I think the position comes out a lot in writing in this detailed accounts. The That one, Brian.
This is under, this is under wind or wind power, it's not under.
Then I was thinking about, all the people, if you got to reach to one way, you know, stop. That was God's plan, wasn't a straight shot there, you got to, you know, you got to make an impact and preach, meet with brethren and encourage, whole way. To me, says a lot about you. If I were in chains, I would be that encouraging to people.
I'm also struck as I read about Paul's journey from Jerusalem to Rome, the amount of freedom that somebody who is under guard is given. It talks multiple times about we stopped in this place and I was glad to meet with brethren. He wasn't going anywhere. He wanted to go to Rome. Which is your name?
Yeah. I just got in touch with my millennial side and did the Google thing. And,
I have an advocate.
Yeah. And, one estimate says that his journey from Caesarea to Rome began in fall of 60 AD and then encompassing the entire journey into the Romulan Rome would be the spring of 61 AD.
So 6 to 9 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about an extended period of time. But compared to other journeys that he's taken,
right.
Short time, but still, it wasn't like jumping in the car and driving 3 hours.
So, I mean, we said, hey, I want to go to Rome, you know, we got a plane to be there in like 6 to 7 hours, right? Get to Rome. So, yeah, it's not like that at all. Was that your example?
Under heaven, including Rome.
Right.
And so
taxes come full circle? Where does it come from?
They're coming from, I looked this up a bit, since we're not going to discuss them here, but in rural, that where it says they came from as far as, like just the as far as, maybe one or other places, the Forum and the Three Towers.
Those are all south of Rome.
Are, yeah, I've never heard of them before. The Forum is 50 miles away.
Yeah.
Which back then would have, would not have been like.
That's.
Two days.
That's a 2 or 3 day journey, yeah.
Each way.
Yeah.
They.
That was, it was a big deal, right? It wasn't like, hey, what's the time? You know, to Margaret, right? This was, hey, let's walk to Top Man. Yeah. It was a big deal to say, see, in the Rome. And you could fall. And the comments there? And it's 16, when we came to Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself. With a soldier who guarded him. Again, maybe Paul was in trouble. Paul was allowed to live on his own. Basically, was under apostles. After 3 days, he called together the local Jews. And when they had gathered, he said to them, brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or our customs or our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for death penalty in my case. But because Jews rejected it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge framed against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain. And I said to him, we have received no letter from Judea about you, and none of the brothers claimed him as reporters spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are with regard to this sect. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. What sect? The
Way.
The Way, right? Church. Tell us about this Jesus. His message and his disciples. And close about this one. When they appointed the day for him, they came to him with lodging in great numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God, and trying to convince them about Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others just believed. When you look at what Paul did there, starting at verse 23, he didn't just tell them that Jesus came and this is what he taught, and he went back to the law of Moses and the prophets, and he said, this Christ, this Jesus, is the fulfillment of the law. He's the fulfillment of the prophecy. This is what we've been looking for. This Jesus is the Messiah. And he used what they would know from the old law and from the prophets to convince them that everything that Jesus did was just a fulfillment of the law. But others disbelieved and disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul and made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear, and with their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. What is all this stuff to you? Rome. because you can't, not because it's beyond your understanding, because you don't understand. Because you close your eyes to the truth, you close your ears to the truth, and you close your heart to the truth. And, you know, some of them are convinced, others weren't. And I think that's a great example for us, as we teach, as we go out and try to spread the gospel, and, you know, among our friends, our family, co-workers, strangers. Some are convinced, others are not. We can't convince everyone. Some people have closed their offices, shut up their ears, and harden their hearts to the truth, because it doesn't fit what they want. They don't want to change. If they don't want that to be an interruption to their lifestyle, like me. This is what I'm going to get my golf game done.
No.
Mark. They want the easy way out. Mark.
How about the phone? When the heartbreaking thing is to hear, he was talking with his grandmother. He was bad, talking bad. And, the preaching the word to her, showing the truth in the Bible. Told him, I know that's what it says, but I don't believe it.
And we chuckled that it's not fun. It is heartbreaking. And there are so many people out there that feel that way. There are so many people out there that know what the scriptures say. But, man, it's not what I want. Yeah. God knows my heart. God knows I need my life. Richard is in his book.
Sometimes there's a temptation to think, well, only if we have the apostles here with us to do miracles and teach and so forth, things, the response could be so much greater. Or maybe if the Lord himself were your people again, Jesus couldn't persuade everybody. The apostles didn't persuade everybody. That's the whole point of the parable of the sower.
Right.
As you go forth and sow the seed, there are going to be different types of soil, and the soil you need to be looking for is the good and honest part.
Most of the animal feels free.
But
I know, but God's grace is sufficient. I know what I'm supposed to do.
God's grace is sufficient. You are absolutely right. God's grace is sufficient.
It is.
He sent his son to die on the cross for the sins of the world. But he asked us to do some things.
Yeah.
No.
What's interesting on that point, Jason, is the grace of God teaches us types too. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and so forth, and to live righteous and soberly and godly. So, yes, the grace is sufficient, but the grace also directs us to do certain things.
No excuse to do it all.
I was talking with this. Might have been Eric, but I don't know. Just recently. Talking about this grace movement, as it is among denominations, and even some Christians are falling prey to this whole movement of grace, and that's all we need is God's grace. It doesn't matter what we do, but you know, once you accept Jesus as your Savior, God's grace covers everything. And there are going to be people on the last day that say, can I do this and this and this?
So I said, "Before we ever do you."
"Yeah, you didn't do these things for me. You did these things to make yourself feel good. You did these things for you. You didn't do what I asked you to do. And really what he asked us to do is simple." And so Paul lets the Jews there have it. And then 28, he says, "Therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, that will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all the people, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." So yeah.
Did Paul ever leave Rome?
He did not. Paul was going to stay there. He was going to write several epistles.
If we forget.
Words of encouragement. Yeah.
If we forget how absolutely rich Paul was. Because how many of us without working can live at our own expense?
Dude,
also.
I mean, a lot of people didn't break his hair, but he was not working at this time. Like, it's not what it talks about. It talks about he met the people who came to him, and he lived at his own expense for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
I think the not the fact that he was wealthy, but the wealth that he had he used for food.
There's a very good probability that Paul was a man of means. A Pharisee of Pharisees, he traded for Gamaliel. Those weren't things that your everyday average schmo did, right? We don't have any. I think in reference anywhere that he was him, you know that he worked to support himself. But you're right, it costs money to live for years, for 2 years on your own. But we also know that in his epistle several times he thanks different congregations and different families. For their support, for financial support. So, I think absolutely Paul was rich. Paul was rich in friends. Paul was rich in support. Paul was absolutely rich spiritually. That's a hard thing to do, to ask about. Not even ask about like physically, but ask about spiritually.
But he must have had something here. He was so old, but he must have been, he's a human. In the Romans, you had to put people to death in horrible, excruciating ways. He had to have some fear there.
I mean, there's a reason he wanted to hide. Right? He wanted to hide for several years. After he came out as a Christian. Yeah. And it was because they wanted to kill him. So, alright. Thanks guys for good comments today. for all of your comments and thoughts as we study Acts. We're going to start the history of the church on Wednesday. And those who sort of that packets in the back. We're going to pick one of those up. Not that we haven't already started the history of the church.